when we see these people in their 70s that are still looking for things to do because they've retired, maybe we plan it a different way.
Welcome to Midlife Mixtape, the podcast. I'm Nancy Davis Coe, and we're here to talk about the years between being hip and breaking one.
Where do I belong? Tell me why I'm here and what's taking this long. When can I move on?
This episode of the Midlife Mixtape podcast is brought to you by a new podcast called Toddler Purgatory. My friends Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson, who are hosts of the top-rated parenting podcast What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, are launching their first ever spin-off podcast. It's called Toddler Purgatory, and it's all the laughs and advice you've come to expect from What Fresh Hell, but all focused on topics for parents of kids under six. Hosts Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd have kids aged 2 to 4 at home, so they'll be solving dilemmas like how to get kids to sleep through the night, how to handle your picky eaters, and so much more. Now, some Midlife Mixtape listeners obviously don't have little ones in our houses anymore, but that's only because grandparenting approaches, and you guys, we might need to refresh ourselves on this stuff. Or maybe you know younger parents, and you could point them to Toddler Purgatory instead of just muttering, "You think you have problems now." Help a new podcast out. Search Toddler Purgatory wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe or follow. That's Toddler Purgatory for all things little kids. Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday or whatever day you're listening to this, and I hope you're hanging in there. I'm Nancy Davis Coe, creator and host of the Midlife Mixtape podcast and author of The Thank You Project, Cultivating Happiness, One Letter of Gratitude at a Time. Were you raised on a steady diet of Stouffer's French bread, pizza, and MTV? Aren't we lucky? Actually, that reminds me, you may know me as a podcast host, but I also sit in the guest seat fairly often, usually talking about gratitude letters and my book. If you ever want to check out any of those interviews and appearances, head over to davisko.com, D-A-V-I-S-K-H-O.com. Click on the speaking tab, and I've listed a whole bunch of interviews there if you ever want to check those out. However, this week I was honored to be a guest on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast, which is dedicated to preserving and elevating the unsung pop culture nuggets of the classic Gen X childhood. And what did Kristen, Carolyn, and Michelle want me to riff on? The early days of MTV. You may not know that not only was I there as a 15-year-old for the Big Bang when the channel launched in 1981, but in my adulthood, I'm a sucker for every oral history written on the channel. So I just got to blah, blah, blah about the business model, the controversial moments, the worst videos made, St. David Bowie. Look, I don't know how listeners are enjoying this episode, but it was cathartic for me. So check out the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast wherever you listen to your favorite shows. If you like Midlife Mixtape, you're going to love that show as well. We are approaching episode 100, folks, and I have some special things planned. A very special episode, if you will, that'll air on June 22nd. So make sure you're subscribed to the Midlife Mixtape podcast wherever you listen so you don't miss out. Okay, midlife gap year is today's topic. We all want one, especially once we know what they are, but it's not the kind of thing you can snap your fingers and achieve overnight. So I invited today's guest to help us get there. Lisette Smith is the Chief Operating Officer and Senior Advisor to Personal Wealth Clients at the Advisory Group of San Francisco, an independent financial advisory firm that manages over $1 billion in assets. A pioneer of the midlife gap year concept as part of the financial planning process, Lisette authored the firm's 16-page educational guide, The Midlife Gap Year, How to Take a Break and Still Feel Financially Secure, to inspire business owners and leaders to take a long-term view of their career and life fulfillment. Don't worry, I also asked her lots of questions about us non-business owners and non-leaders. Her favorite part of her work is helping clients explore possibilities in their financial lives and then over time seeing the life-changing differences her advice inspired. So blow off the dust that gathered on your calendar during the pandemic and let's start figuring out how we add gap year to it with Lisette Smith. Welcome to the Midlife Mixtape podcast, Lisette Smith. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I am really excited to talk about midlife gap year. And what I'm hoping is you'll do that Oprah thing where you say, look under your seat, you get a gap year, you get a gap year. Because we all want one. You don't have to convince us that we want one, but I want to hear how we're going to get one.
Right. That's the hard part.
Yeah. So that'll be most of what we talk about. But you know, we cannot break the ice on this show without asking this very critical question that I'm sure you get in a lot of your financial interviews. What was your first concert, Lisette, and what were the circumstances?
Oh, yes. I don't get that question as often as you might think.
Really? Weird.
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, and my first concert was a James Taylor concert at Tanglewood, which is in the Berkshires. And I was youngish. You know, I was like eighth or ninth grade. So young to be going to a concert by myself. Well, and I went with the older brother, like a friend, and her older brother drove. So I thought it was really, really cool.
Well, it is pretty cool to have the older brother as the gateway concert.
Yeah.
I have heard magical things about Tanglewood. I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. I mean, I subsequently went to many concerts there. You know, it kind of has the lawn there. Well, I'm always on the lawn. I think there are seats. yeah, it's a cool place.
Well, once we can get back to concerts again, you know, that would be a good trip. Just go around and go to all the different amphitheaters all over the country. Like, I'd love to go to Red Rocks. I've never been there. I just go to the Greek in Berkeley all the time. But
yeah, me either. I would love to go to Red Rocks. I can't wait.
Someday. That's my investment strategy we need to focus on today. How does Nancy get to all the outdoor arenas?
Yes, that can be how you spend your midlife gap year.
Oh, I just fell under my desk. Okay, let's get started talking about midlife gap years. You are a certified financial planner, a CFP, and you've taken it upon yourself to champion this idea of a midlife gap year. So let's just start with the basics. What is that?
So I think you're probably more aware of it than most people because there's just so much going on at midlife. You're dedicating your podcast to it, so I don't have to tell you that. But really, the focus and what you're doing in terms of responsibilities, your career or business, your family, even your parents may be demanding more attention. And you also are at a point where you may be starting to have some resources and some success, and you may own a home. There's a lot going on.
Right.
There's just a big convergence of things that are happening. And at that same time, in general, the trajectory of people's work lives and how we think about work and our lifespan is changing. And some of thinking about a midlife gap year is to kind of change the way we think about your work life. And this isn't an idea that I came up with because even though I did do a midlife gap year before I kind of had labeled it that, in academic circles, people are studying, you know, there's a lot of books kind of on successful aging. And I had seen someone, Laura Cartinson, who heads the Stanford Center for Longevity, give a talk really about this new map of life and how everything's kind of bunched up in the middle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't just, even if your healthy life is extending, you don't want to just tack on things to the end. And that we should be adjusting your lives to have for these longer work lives, but punctuate them with some breaks and, you know, some time to regroup and some time to think and do things while you're still able to do them. And so that kind of, you know, academia has sometimes a tenuous grip on application and, you know, kind of made me think like, that sounds great, but people need to have a way to do that. Not everyone's going to be able to do that. So to kind of make it more accessible.
And it sounds like there's a couple different ways that we can define gap year. There's the complete hiatus from work where you are seriously stepping away. What are the other ways that people can manifest their midlife gap year?
Oh, that's a good way to say it. So, you know, it is really specific to the people involved and that kind of determines how it's structured. Because, you know, I think people think of maybe initially, okay, I'm just going to take a year off and travel and ride my bike around the world or ride a horse around the world or do something.
Scooter, you know, a Lime scooter.
Yes. Scooter my way around the world. I'm plugging in along the way. Yeah, so exactly. You know, that's probably at one end, like just giving things up for a year and going off with your family or by yourself or, you know, how you would do that. But we kind of try to break it down, kind of starting with what do you want to get out of this at the end of this period? Because it can't go on forever, but say it's a year. What needs to have changed for you? If you do want to travel, like, how will that manifest itself when you get back? Then will you go back to your job? Do you want to do it so you can explore something else? And then there are kind of scaled down versions of that. I mean, honestly, a lot of people want to just take a break to spend more time with their families, although as you may have guessed.
Eventually, it won't be 2021 anymore. Eventually, right, guys. We'll miss them again someday.
Yeah. I think, you know, we wrote this prior to 2020. We were thinking, oh, people are getting their midlife gap year right now. They are staying home and kind of regrouping. But it really was kind of, I think for a lot of people, a different kind of burnout. So that's probably what, you know, in terms of the why, that's kind of a lot of the reason people just feel a little burned out at that stage of life. Mm-hmm. You may physically need to be away. You may just need to, you know, stay home and focus on you and your loved ones. And maybe you just feel like things have kind of gotten away from you. Or you may want to be thinking about a career pivot. There may be something else you want to do. You know, if you're at midlife, you may have been doing the same thing since you got out of college or, you know, since you started your work life. So 20 years or more, and maybe thinking, can I turn my avocation into a career? Could I get more training and do something else? So there are kind of a varieties and what you want to get out of it kind of determines how it might be structured.
And Lisette is referring to a guide that I'll link to from the show notes that she wrote for Advisory Board, but it's a guide on how to achieve your midlife gap year.
Right.
So we'll be talking about this guide, and that's got a lot more detail on all this stuff. I mean, you don't have to convince me that we deserve it, but when you mentioned all those things, the you know, we call it the years between being hip and breaking one, and all the stuff that we're balancing our parents, our kids, and certainly the last 14 months have been excruciatingly difficult for so many of us. So yes, we all deserve a break. But what are the quantifiable benefits? You mentioned the academic research around this. You know, I was thinking about a friend of mine always talks about meaningful retirement. She's hated being a lawyer since day one of being a lawyer, but she never quit. So she talks about how she's basically going to get her life satisfaction in her meaningful retirement. And I've thought about that concept, but I like what I do. So it doesn't, the idea of never retiring isn't horrible to me. I mean, I would like to, but I would like a lot more flexibility eventually. But I like mm-hmm. this idea of taking breaks so that I can sustain the energy and enthusiasm to keep doing what I'm doing for a longer period of time. Because the other thing is, I just got my Social Security statement. And if I don't retire till I'm 70, we're much better off.
Right. And a lot of people, especially people in your position, which is kind of the ideal, is that people do enjoy what they're doing and they do want to continue it. And there's certainly a lot more anecdotal evidence. And I can tell you from my clients that people that enjoy what they're doing are happy and capable of doing it into their 70s. And that's a lot of kind of what the research is showing now, that there is benefit in the older workforce. And to continue doing that is good for your health as you age as well. So that's kind of the ideal, that you have a job you like and you find purpose in it. But this was kind of brought up also as like an antidote to people who wanted to retire early and didn't love what they were doing. And that is not that practical for a lot of people for the reason you just said, that it does make sense to for Social Security and just in terms of how when you start drawing down your retirement savings and the amount of time you're able to save for you to work longer. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do that if you don't like what you're doing. But when people, you know, when I started as an advisor almost 30 years ago, and people's target of retiring at 55 or that is really difficult. I mean, it's really hard to work for 30 years and then be retired for 40.
Right.
The math is really hard on that. So this is more, you know, how do we spread that out? So when you take the trade-off of working longer, which is a kind of common trade-off when we do the math on this and kind of run through different scenarios, but people don't mind it if they have either pivoted or they've taken a break to regroup and are then able to work longer, happier.
So can you give me For instance, somebody you've worked with who's done this and how it played out. What does it really look like?
We have had people that are in their own business, which gives you a little more flexibility.
Sure.
But it does require some planning. In most cases, in the cases we've had, people have either business partners or other people to rely on. And it does take some planning, though. You know, you can't just go into your business partner or boss and say, like, great news. I have a plan. I'm taking a year off. This is what I plan to do.
Happy Monday.
Don't worry. I have it all figured out. And so in that case, you know, in the case I'm thinking of, there was really about 2 or 3 years of lead up of really planning around like what the business had to do to, because this person like wanted to take a full year off, like didn't really want to be in touch. They actually ended up doing some work, which, you know, that's fine. But the plan was not to. And so there was some lead up time because, you know, to your point, you have to get things in order. You know, you don't want people resenting you when you return.
Right.
And so this person was, you know, really did some travel with their kids within the United States and kind of homeschooled for that period. This was
before homeschooling was like a life sentence.
Yes, exactly. Before everyone was doing that. And part of the planning we try to do is the reentry plan too. This person knew they wanted to return to their business. And so part of that was, you know, when you come back, like, will you, first of all, will you do anything related to it while you're away? Which again, they ended up doing, but that wasn't the plan. Also in this case, like, will your partners or other people at the firm get the ability to do this themselves? Like, is this going to be something that you'll, you know, champion and not just kind of take for yourself?
Right.
I think in that case, their kids were not as on board initially. And so some of it, you know, you do have to sell it. You do have to get some people on board sometimes. This may be your dream, but it's not going to work without other people really buying in. And you, that's part of the thought process. I mean, that's part of what we discuss with people. We're really focused on the financial end of it. And these people also were able to rent out their house while they were gone. So that offset some of their, that's not that uncommon to be able to do that, to kind of offset some of the costs.
So 2 to 3 years, is that pretty typical for how far in advance you want people to start thinking about how to actually structure this?
Kind of. I mean, the more time you have, the better. You could probably, again, it kind of depends what you want to get out of it. You could probably do it in a year. But if you have a business or if you have a career that, you know, where you have clients or people are depending on you, it does make sense to have a little more of lead time.
So let's pretend that some of our listeners are not in a position to tell the people who work for them that this is what they're going to do. They're actually the employee. And I would raise my hand along with the rest of you who have your hands up in this scenario. You know, how would I go about preparing my very lovely employer for the fact that, oh yeah, I'm going to step back? I mean, I get nervous asking them to take 2 weeks off. That feels indulgent to me. So how do I prepare for that conversation around taking a whole year off? Or and when you say midlife gap year, I'm guessing you are also talking about, you know, a 6 month period or whatever ends up being the appropriate amount of time, but enough for a big break, more than 2 weeks.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of more the idea of taking a significant amount of time to regroup. So it can be 6 months, it can be shorter. And I think, you know, there are alternatives. I mean, sometimes it's really more thinking about restructuring. Maybe it's not taking that entire time off, but maybe it is paring back, you know, working 3 days a week for a year and figuring out if you can, just so you feel like you have enough to replenish. And that may mean, to the financial aspect, like for your employer, it just means they pay you less. They pay you on a prorated basis. The important thing is that you feel like it's enough time to achieve, you know, your goals. So honestly, it could be just taking every Friday off and spending that with your family or doing things at home. So the extreme of taking the year off and traveling, the other extreme is probably finding a way to restructure your work, not quit your job, not even take a year off from your job, but in a position where you're afraid you might derail your lifestyle for a while if you step back. We can do some planning around that as well.
You know, a couple of episodes ago, I interviewed Jeff Harry, who's a play expert, episode 92, and he talked about this idea that if you can have flow work, if you can have a part of your day where you're just really happy and really lost in the, mm-hmm. in the what you're doing, that everything else benefits. And as you're talking about maybe just taking one day off a week for a year, it occurs to me that the other 4 days might just, you might be super productive just because you're going to be so much happier to have that extra time to yourself. And I think probably, you know, you have to think about how you're going to position this as a benefit to the employer. And I would guess that that could be part of it.
Right. And I think that's a little bit of the benefit of middle age and kind of having that perspective of how much time gets wasted in many work situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the more enlightened employers or even less enlightened, you know, they're looking for outcomes. They're looking for good work and productivity. And, you know, hopefully this pandemic year has also shown us like that doesn't necessarily come with the face time in the office and other things like that. So there is that perspective of saying, you know, I can be more valuable to you. I'm very torn right now. And this is, you know, a net positive in terms of my concentration level, in terms of my creativity, in terms of that idea of flow. Like for those periods, I will be working and thinking and doing things if I know I have this other time.
Right.
And it is an education process. And, you know, you kind of have to prove that. Once an employer sees that, that should be what matters.
Another angle I thought about is employee development. And let me just a little backstory. We had a friend over to sit on the patio in masks and talk, of course, from 6 feet away. He heads up a nonprofit here in the Bay Area, and he's about to leave on a 9-week sabbatical. So this is company policy that you can take, I think it's 7 weeks, and then he had extra vacation. So they're gone for 9 weeks. And he said, there's two really bad periods for me to leave the company. So I chose one of them because he said, I wanted to make sure that the people who are covering for me get this opportunity. The timing relates to their board meetings. And he said, this way, my team is the one presenting to the board and they get FaceTime with the board. So he said, I told them I'm not going to be available. You know, he's doing all the prep work with them, of course. But once he's gone, he's gone, and he sees it as a developmental opportunity for them, which I thought was an interesting way to look at it, and probably makes it more relatable to his team that he's going to be gone during this crunch period.
Right, and actually, I didn't mention that earlier when you were asking about the time needed to plan, but with business owners and really with employees as well, that is part of the planning is, you know, prepping the people for when you're away and kind of doing little test runs of that in terms of either client service or production or however your business is running so that both you and they have a sense of confidence. The whole goal is that this becomes a positive experience for both. You don't want to be derailing something. And so that's part of why that lead up is so important so that you can kind of test things a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you're not leaving anybody in the lurch.
Right.
So do you see a growing push for a midlife gap year or the concept of a midlife gap year as we've kind of defined it? It can be a little bit midlife gap day once a week, once a month. But, you know, just this idea of taking some breaks from your work while you're still an active employee or an active business owner so that you don't burn out when you're 55 and wish that you could quit tomorrow. Are more people talking about it?
Yeah, I think to the way you phrased it earlier, you know, when we discuss with people, you know, who's not on board taking
right.
time off. And I think it's very relatable. There are always going to be some people that are just adventurers and would do this with or without a guide and are already thinking about their life in a non-linear way and just kind of take what comes.
I was going to say, I was just reading about a guy who's kayaking from the Bay Area to Hawaii. Good luck. I'm not doing that.
I read that too. And I was
thinking,
it's
a nightmare.
That seems really hard. And not that much fun for me.
I'll be here on the couch watching your updates. Good luck.
But that's his, you know, that is his choice and good for him. So everyone likes the concept And I think, and there are some people that would do it anyway, but I think there is some education kind of needed around, because you do what you see, you know, and your parents had retirement or a life where they worked for 40 years and then retired at 65 and then, you know, didn't work at all. And it's gradual, I guess I would say. People know that work is changing, that people don't have one job for 40 years, but the implications of longer lifespan and healthier lifespans take a minute for people to realize that that means maybe they can change things or take a break. And still, I think in midlife, the other reality is you're worried if you take time off, can you get back on track?
Some Gen Z is going to take your job.
Yeah. Are you really?
Skip right over the millennials and go to the TikTok generation.
Yes. And no one wants that. So there, you know, there's some risk involved. And I think part of getting people more comfortable with this and getting people to understand that it's a possibility. It's not that it's without risk and it's not that it's without trade-offs, but those may be risks that you're willing to take because almost certainly one of them is you may have to work longer. You have to kind of be willing to accept that.
Yeah, but as you said, part of healthy aging, ironically, it seems to me, and from everything I've read, is working longer or at least having something with purpose. And I always, you know, look at this anecdotally with my parents, where my dad retired at 55, which I am almost his age. I cannot even imagine retire. Like, I don't know what set of life circumstances would have to happen between now and my birthday on Friday for that to happen. But he then got super involved in volunteer work and he did that for 30 more years. And then I see people who retire and don't have that kind of sense of purpose every day, the volunteer job or the second job, the meaningful retirement, and they seem to go downhill a lot faster. So when I think about working longer, I just would like to kind of encourage you guys to not see that necessarily as bad if you're choosing the work or if you're happy with the work or if you have more flexibility. For me, like I'll be a writer forever. I just want to be able to take a trip when I want to take a trip and not ask anybody's permission. That's kind of my definition of happy retirement. I will work forever. I just, when I say I need to go somewhere, I want you to let me go.
Yeah, so that's really an ideal, you know, overall to kind of make work optional. Like, yes, I do want to work, but if I can't or, you know, don't want to, I don't want to have to. Just in looking at clients I've had over the years, some people are bad at retirement. You know, some people who are really good at their job and really get a lot of satisfaction from their job, even if it's not a job full of what other people might consider purpose, but they, you know, were good at it. And that alone is very satisfying. And then when they don't have that, it's not a good outcome. You know, they don't really feel, as you were saying, they kind of go downhill, you know, in terms of just their mental faculties and trying to replace that. So the idea of kind of building your life in chapters instead of, and you know, taking these breaks along the way, I think it will become something more acceptable and just more traditional almost in the future. But right now it's kind of in the middle of bridging what people consider traditional retirement and what people are actually experiencing once they hit their retirement age.
We'll leave it to Gen X. We'll make it popular. That's what we do. We didn't invent hip hop, but we perfected it. We didn't invent, you know, music videos, but we perfected them. So we'll work on this, right, you guys? Everybody's going to get together.
And learn from the mistakes of baby boomers. I think that, yeah, you know, there's enough of them out there telling us what to do. So I think when we see these people in their 70s that are still looking for things to do because they've retired, maybe we plan it a different way.
Yeah. All right, Lisette Smith from the Advisor Group. We're going to be back in a minute because I want to talk about your midlife gap year. But first, a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by musicvideosranked.com. Yes, that's right. Midlife Mixtape has a sponsor specializing in music videos. And if there were ever a more appropriate pairing for my Gen X listeners, I do not know what that could be. Musicvideosranked.com has collected lists of the greatest music videos of all time. Check them out and give them a rating while you're at it. I mentioned at the top of the show that I was interviewed recently about the early days of MTV, and musicvideosranked.com is the rabbit hole I fell into to prepare myself. Of course, I had to rate everything as I watched it. Is Sabotage by the Beastie Boys better than Work It by Missy Elliott? Do I agree with the number one choice? I'll tell you what, I did agree with it last week, but I don't today because people are voting and things are in flux. So get over to musicvideosranked.com and make your votes heard. musicvideosrank.com. Check it out. All right, we're back with Lisette Smith of the Advisory Group talking about midlife gap years. And I wonder, Lisette, how is this personal to you? Have you taken a midlife gap year? You mentioned that you did. Tell us all about it.
I did take a midlife. I'll call it a midlife gap year. It was a lot messier than the ones I'm trying to plan for other people now. So
that's okay. It gives us permission to be messy. That's
yeah.
Good.
So, when I was in kind of my early mid 40s, I had a financial advisory practice with a partner, and I'd really been an advisor, for 20 years or more. And I have one son. He was in middle school. My mother had just passed away. It's kind of the story is old as time about midlife.
Right. Midlife. It's so great.
Yeah. and so I really was feeling burned out. And so we ended up selling our business. My business partner had two young children. So for other reasons, she felt kind of burned out. And we ended up selling that practice at the time. And, in retrospect, and as I'm dealing with other business owners now, I wonder if there would have been a way to kind of solve that burnout and still keep the business. I'm happy with how it all played out. I think
sure. It's
all happened for a reason. But in retrospect, I kind of wonder about that. And so what I did with my time, kind of reassessing things. Is this what I want to do for my whole life? I would like to spend more time with my son before he's out of the house. So during my time off, we kind of trained and became foster parents. So part of it was, wanting to give back.
Wow.
So we did that. My husband and I did that. And that was very rewarding. It was hard and, very challenging, not because of him, but because of the system. Mm-hmm. But it was a way we could give back. And that was and that's something that other people like to do with their gap year or kind of to help reassess. And then I also trained for a new career as a mediator. I had been an arbitrator kind of within the financial world. And so I kind of liked this idea of being a neutral party and helping people resolve conflict. And I thought that would be very rewarding, and it was, but it's different. It was different than I thought it was going to be in that I realized that I really enjoy longer term interactions. When you're a mediator, you're kind of parachute in when people are having a conflict, so you see people at their worst, and then it's a lot of kind of triage, and then you extricate yourself. Honestly, I just realized over this period that I was a better advisor than I was a mediator. Like I kind of like guiding people, not really having them figure out what to do. Yeah, so I mean, that was not a year. That was kind of a career change, and the time off to regroup was a little over a year, and then I had a different career for 4 or 5 years.
So we're talking about the guide you've written. Where is the best place for people to go to get the Midlife Gap Year guide? And I will include a link on the show notes too. But in case somebody's just listening and doesn't have a pen, where should they go?
It's at advisorygroupsf.com. So the SF is like in San Francisco. And the guide is just on the homepage. You can request the guide.
Great. And it's got a lot of great information in it. I was telling Lisette before we started recording, it came across the transom from my other writing career, the journalism stuff that I do. And at the time I was like, I am very interested in this. I have no idea what it is. I'm going to open it and read it at some point. And thank God her PR person followed up and said, hey, do you want to talk to the author of that guide? And I'm like, yes, I do. I've been waiting to have time to connect to her. So definitely a lot of good resources within.
Well, thank you.
Lisette, let me ask you, do you envision another gap year coming up? Do you have another gap year in you? Is there something you would want to do to reset, retool, explore if you were given another chance to do it? Is your son out of the house now?
He is.
When I say out of the house, like old enough to be out of the house, everybody's in the house. I know.
Yes, he has graduated from college now.
Oh,
so
yay.
Yes, he is self-sufficient. Yes. Well, actually our firm offers sabbaticals. So that is a way to kind of regroup without, you know, having to plan a full year off. So I'm not positive. I'm going to leave that an open question.
How great though, to have wide open landscapes to think about. I think now I know what your idea is. It's to go to outdoor concert venues.
Yes.
That's well, what your next sabbatical is going to be.
I am going to think about developing that as more of
a focus group.
We can see what we can do on that.
Andrew, I need to leave for a while. I'm going on a research trip with Lizette. I'll be back in a year. So, all right. So we always close the podcast with one final question. And maybe you already answered this, but what one piece of advice do you have for people younger than you? Or do you wish you could go back and tell yourself?
Oh, I think the best advice I have received and continue to receive, because I don't take it that well, is to worry less about things. And I think that is a little bit what this guide is about, is to try to get people to kind of take risks without worrying about what will happen, kind of give them a little safety net about that. Because I know it is really not constructive to be a worrier, and it's a big joy suck, but things are going to happen whether you're worried or not. So I try to take that advice, and I try to help people worry less. So
it is such hard work to not worry.
It really is.
We've all told our friends that. We've all been told that by our friends at various times, right? I mean, we all fall into this trap. If we are human and looking around us and halfway conscious of what's going on, and especially if we have either older or younger loved ones who we're concerned about, it's so hard to not worry, but it is such a good goal to have. I would just leave it that way. Like, I always try to tell myself, like, whether or not I worry has no impact on the outcome of this scenario. That's the only thing that works for me, because that kind of can shake me out of, like, spend your time differently, because you're not helping or hurting the situation sitting in the corner and worrying about it.
Yeah. And actually, you know, since we're in the midlife mixtape, there's, you probably know, this old Dire Straits song called "Why Worry?" And
love
if
it.
You don't, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. I always put a video with every episode. So thanks for just picking the video that will go with this.
Oh,
one.
Good. I'm glad I could help. Yeah, it's great. It's a good, it's a good little something to listen to. If you're,
why worry? Spend your time daydreaming about your midlife gap year, however that's going to look for you. I think it's a really great idea. And I know a lot of us are not able to step away for a year from our responsibilities, but just thinking along the lines of, how would I do it? What's the thing that would help me get back in flow? What kind of temporary restructuring could I achieve so that I'm happy to keep working for as long as I'm probably going to have to work? I think it's worth thinking about and talking about with your family and talking about with your friends. Maybe we can brainstorm some interesting ways through this, because we're smart. We're Gen X. We figure shit out. So, all right, Lizette Smith from the Advisory Group, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your expertise. I hope everybody will go download the Midlife Gap Year Guide. Let me know what you thought. And Lizette, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Nancy. I really enjoyed it.
So just for kicks, I asked over on the Midlife Mixtape Facebook page the other day what your gap year plans would be. First off, no. What we have just survived is not a gap year, even if it involved you spending days in your pajamas. We are talking about a real gap year, like Lizette described, to reset, to regroup, to find our flow again. When asked what you would do for a gap year, by far and away, the number one goal of Midlife Mixtape fans is travel. Travel to ancestral homelands like Elaine, travel to the sets of Downton Abbey like Denise, travel to Iceland to do yoga and writing like Mari. Jessica struck a nerve when she suggested traveling to places, and I quote, where people make dinner for me, make my bed, and mix me martinis or buckets of coffee. Jessica's now going to be doing that travel in a pack of at least 15 other midlife mixtapers, and they're all going to be wearing matching caftans. There were also creative and altruistic goals like Grenald, who wants to put out an album, Val, who wants to volunteer at marine reserves around the world, and Rachel, who wants to learn the pastry arts in Paris and Vienna. And I told Rachel I'm happy to come along as a taster. I'm a giver in that sense. And finally, a lot of us are just really, really tired, and we want to sleep or finally organize our clutter or our mountain of photos or our kitchen cabinets. Thank you, Representative Gen Xers, for keeping it real. So let me know if today's episode gave you any ideas of how you would actually achieve your gap year goals. Drop me a line at dj@midlifemixtape.com or send me a message via Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Midlife Mixtape. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and have a wonderful week.
don't wanna be this, don't wanna be that. Don't wanna give up, I wanna give back. I wanna be free by whatever means. Whatever you want from me, I wanna be. Don't wanna be this, don't wanna be that. Don't wanna give up, I wanna give back. I wanna be free by whatever means. Whatever you want from me, I wanna be. I wanna be free by whatever means.